Why do you say that, Father? You aren't afraid, are you?
No. But I respect some of the superstitions of others. Often they are founded in fact.
Broadcasting live from our Sanctum Sanctorum in Venice, California, this is the Sixth Sense Society. I'm your host, Krista, here with our producer, Michael, and today you are tuning in to Spell It Out, Magic, Reflections, and Shadows, where I take a topic and run with it. Today, I'm going to be playing to my strengths. I'm going to share with you my use of and knowledge of a really great tarot spread. It's just a three-card spread. So it'll be really a lot of fun for me. But before we get started, Michael has a few announcements.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our show. It's really great to have you guys, as always. We have some really cool guests coming up. And next week, we have our good friends Craig Owens and Holly Lindblom for Valentine's Day with Love Beyond the Grave. So we're going to talk about some love stories that have a paranormal twist to them. The next show after that, we're so excited, is Earl Grey Anderson will be back, and we'll be doing a show on Men in Black. So you guys want to tune in for that, and I'm told there are even some exclusive stories to be told that have never been told before, so it could be a scoop for us. And then we're going to end the month with our good friend, Kabbalistic philosopher Dan Moore, and he's got some new work that just came out, so we're going to catch up with him and find out what that's all about. So great stuff. Get the information on our website, sixthsensesociety.com, S-A-X-T-H, all spelled out. While you're there, buy us a coffee on Ko-Fi if you can afford to, but the most important thing is to click like and subscribe. And in that regard, great news. We just passed 2,000 subscribers today, so thank you all who have subscribed to the show. It means an awful lot to us, and now on to 3,000. We're kind of going into the next level again. So with that, I'm going to kick it back to you, Krista. So take it away, Krista.
Great. Thank you, Michael. And yes, thank you all so much for subscribing and sticking with us. We really greatly appreciate it. And we're really thrilled to. It was this morning, it was 2001. So hopefully it'll be more after the show even. So for those of you that might be new to the show and you're listening to it for the first time, my husband and I are professional tarot readers. We call ourselves Kabbalistic tarot readers because we work with Kabbalah and tarot and have been doing it over a quarter of a century. It's amazing. Professionally, and which means we've done a lot of reading. So I thought this year I would start to share more of the things that I have learned being a tarot card reader. And so one of the things, of course, not everybody uses layouts anymore. I'm not sure what the reason for that is, but you'll sometimes go on like a YouTube and you'll see people just pulling cards. And I think that for me, that would never work. So we like the layout system. A lot of people do use it. And I thought I would share with you this three-card layout spread or system because it is so simple, but also very versatile. And you'll see what I'm talking about. Hi, Caroline. She's saying hello. And she was on our show recently with the 2024 prediction. So make sure to listen to that if you haven't. Caroline's also a tarot card reader and astrologer. So getting back to the topic. So it's a simple three cards, though it's going to be more when you'll see what I mean. And it's very versatile in terms of how you can use it. What we find, my husband and I find, that we never do a single card prediction because it's just too, there's nothing you can really say. You can use a single card for a meditation, for some kind of an art project, that kind of thing. But we feel the minimum one needs is three cards to make a pattern. So since we do a lot of prediction by nature, we're looking for probabilities and patterns. And or you can also see it as a storyline, which I did in the very beginning before I was working with Kabbalah. I saw, you know, I'd look at the card and say, this story, what does this look like at the beginning, the middle, the end? And that's another way to sort of view it. There's also, it's very quick to use. And if you're a professional tarot card reader, like we are, a lot of people want short readings, sometimes just to get to know you, sometimes at parties. So again, our minimum is 15-minute readings, and you can pack a lot in it once you get used to it, but it's also a very quick kind of reading that can give you something substantial instead of just, like I said, a one card. And then also the number three, one of the things you can do if you work with layouts, and one thing I do, I use a particular layout that is connected to one of my numbers in numerology, and so that you can kind of tie in numerology into the layout itself. And the number three, of course, is a very mystical number, and it's also connected to the Empress in the tarot, who is the beginning of the seed of everything we desire. She's the beginning of a creative process that involves two other cards. So it's kind of cool that way as well. But mostly it's a very practical kind of thing. So let's look at sort of, I wanted to share with you my own approach, because I realize it's helpful to hear people's approaches to how they do readings so that you can figure out your own approach, or maybe learn something from someone that's been doing it like I have for so long. So hopefully it'll make it easier for you. So when I use the three card reading, and we're talking about just the basic three cards, there's two occasions which I'll use them in person and also virtually. And so there's a slightly different approach when I do the in-person than the virtual one. So in person, I use an oversized Thoth deck. And as a result, I find it difficult for people to shuffle that deck really well. So I shuffle it a lot before I let the clients actually, if they want to pick it up the deck, they can. But I usually just spray it, I fan it out in front of them and have them pick three cards, keeping them face down. They pick with either hand or both, and they can either hand them to me one at a time or hand them to me in a pile. That's my basic system for using the three card layout, and also generally what I do in in-person readings. Virtually, since we do a lot of Zoom and Skype readings, and we've had for and phone readings for a long time, obviously I pick the cards for them. One thing you can do, and I will do this sometimes with the medicine cards, is I can ask the client to tell me when to stop shuffling, because there is still a shuffling process in the deck that I use. But we've tried it out with people before we started doing phone readings years ago, and it still works if you pick the cards for them. So I wouldn't worry about that. But those are the two sort of methods that I use when actually doing the three card spread. And the other thing I do, I lay them out horizontally, one, two, three, and I turn them over all at once. I have seen people do, they turn them one at a time, which has a little bit of a dramatic effect, but I like to turn them over at once so that I can immediately see what the pattern is. So I get an impression, what are those three cards like together? Because I've been doing this for so many years and I've been looking at patterns for so long, I can assess it really in an instant. And then I break it down and we talk about it with the client. So that's the reason I do it. And those of you that know Michael and I, we don't use reversed cards. We did in the beginning. And I always found it really confusing, but I did do it for a couple years. And then when we discovered Kabbalah, we found out you really didn't need reversed cards. There's enough kind of mix of cards that are challenging and not so challenging. And then we stopped using the reversals. And also, I personally think that it changes the imagery too much. And unless there are, I think there are some decks in existence that actually have a different image when you turn it, you reverse it. Because when you gaze at the cards, the images are supposed to strike your subconscious in a certain way, as well as the colors. And so I do think that matters if you want to take the tarot into a very deep realm, into a realm where the subconscious enjoys symbols. And so it doesn't, you know, it's not the same kind of symbol. So that's my own theory about it. Mainly, though, we found it overcomplicated things. And you really, the tarot is a simple and elegant system. You really don't need to overcomplicate it. So that's a little bit about how I approach just the simple three cards. Now, ways to use the three card layout. Now, when I started thinking about it, I was like, wow, there's actually quite a few ways that I use them. And there's probably other ways that you can use them as well. It's one of those things you can take threes, sort of, you know, layers of threes and make it into different readings. And it's very straightforward. So the first thing I'll look at, though, is just using three cards. What can you do with three cards? Well, when you're learning the tarot, this is a great layout to use on a day-to-day basis. What you can do is, at the beginning of your day, you can look at your day, or you can look at someone else's day if you're reading for other people. And by the way, Michael and I both feel that you can learn to read for yourself. That it's one of those things that you, some people say you can never read for yourself. And again, no, that's not true. There might be areas that you want to get someone's second opinion. It's also very enjoyable to get readings from people if you really feel like they have insight and they might have a different angle. But I have read for myself and I still read for myself. And it's really helpful to be able to do, especially, you know, readings that aren't critical, I would say, you know. So basically, you can use the three card to look at your day. And you could even break that down into the three cards being the morning, the afternoon, and the evening, though you really don't have to do that either. And that's a really fun way to learn the tarot and to start using the layout. Another thing you can use it for is simply a sort of broader timeline. You can do a past, a present, future. Perhaps it's a simple theme that you're looking at and you want to get kind of a hit on it before you go into it in depth. So those are sort of two just simple ways to use the three cards alone. Now, the next way I use the three card reading, and in fact, this way is actually will be explained very well in Michael's course, which we'll announce at the end of the show. His tarot course is the yes or no question. In the very beginning, I don't think I did a lot of yes, no questions because I was a little uneasy about how to do it and if one should do it. But there are questions that you can look at that are very yes and no. And they're usually, in my case, they're often quite practical instead of very esoteric questions such as, you know, am I on my path of destiny or not? So I've ended up doing, because I have regular clients and they have very specific questions with me sometimes, I will do this yes, no question. So basically the yes, no combines two sets of three. You have the client pick three for yes and three for no. And so it's a total of six cards. And there are lots of different yes, no questions people ask, such as, should I take this job or not? Is this a good car to lease or not? There's lots of things you can do a yes, no with. And you will find that as you do the yes, no questions, there will be nuances within the yes and no. You'll start saying, I'm getting a little more information than just the yes or no. And that can be very helpful. And so but I wouldn't worry about it initially. You know, just keep it really straightforward, yes or no. And then the next way I like to use the three card layout is I add another set of three and it becomes a nine card layout. So you have 333. And by the way, all these numbers are connected to the Tesla number 369, which is a very magical mathematical number. And that's, I think I've done a lecture on that in the past, maybe on Sixth Sense Society. But anyway, I thought that was kind of cool. And so anyway, the nine card reading, I use that a lot when I am looking at relationships. And by relationships, I would say pretty much any kind of relationship. It can be a love relationship. It can be a relationship between a mother and daughter. It can be a relationship between the living and dead. And my favorite question almost ever was somebody wanted to look at their relationship to God. And I'll never forget it because at first I thought, okay, why not? You know, the tarot is very mystical and magical. And the person sitting across from me, they wanted to know what was really going on. This was not a facetious question. And all I remember at the time was the answer actually was quite profound. And it sort of blew me away because I thought, okay, let's just try this in my head. And so you can technically look at any kind of relationship. And as I said, you can also look at the dead. And so this is my form of mediumship that I'll do with the public. I don't do it with every client. It's usually someone I feel comfortable with or I have had a relationship with. I'm not sure why. I'm sort of particular. And I do have some mediumship ability, but I've not really wanted to develop it for the public. But this way I feel is fair. And there's often some very surprising things that you'll learn about the realm of the dead compared to the living. And so basically all you do is you think about, if the person says, I want to look at my mother that has passed or father, you just think of it as an energy, or, you know, it's a living being. And oftentimes people are still very connected to people they've loved, particularly family members. And I will find that it's fairly accurate. It'll pick up sort of a little bit about their relationship, and the person will confirm it. And it's a very neutral and objective way to look at the living and the dead. For that one, I do remember there was a reading I had with this young woman, and at the time she did not tell me her father had died, and for some reason I didn't feel it at all. I mean, sometimes you can kind of feel people have lost somebody and nothing. I felt no psychic hit on the father had died, so I assumed he was alive. And it was another one of those ones I was just it was kind of amusing what it said. It said, first of all, I remember that the father didn't have to worry about money anymore. I just said, oh, he doesn't have to worry about money. And the young woman kind of looked at me and seemed to be right. I could feel like it was right. And then the other thing was, there was an element of peace in this case. And when I looked at her cards, there was really more of those cards of loss. And so in this case, it was the living, the young woman was suffering more, it seemed to me, than the father who had died in terms of his own energy. And so I even mentioned that. I said, wow, we can see sometimes it's a living that really, it's more painful for them. And I don't know if that's true all the time, but it really struck me at the time. And I remember her still, and I remember him. And it's one of those things, there's some readings that just kind of stay with you for some reason. And I do remember that one. So now another thing that we use the three card reading for, and this is the one probably I use the most, is when you're looking at choices. And this, you know, because there are 78 cards, you can do 26, up to 26 choices at once. And it's one of those, and the choices vary in terms of what they look, that people want to ask about. I have one regular client that travels a lot. And as a result, in fact, when she was traveling through the pandemic period, it got to be a little bit more stressful trying to get the right time frame for her, because there were only times where they could go. I forget what it was, like a quota. So I would use the choice idea, looking at times, what month, what day. You can even work with hours. And for each choice, you pick three cards. And you can do this blind, too. You can actually not know what they're asking and just look at what's the very best choice. And how we determine that is something Michael teaches in his Kabbalistic Tarot class that is based on the position of the cards in the three pillars. And so it's something that it maybe takes a little memorization, but it's really not hard. It works. It really does, as far as, you know, especially when you're looking at these objective kinds of choices. So I use it for location a lot. So people that want to move, and it varies from people that have no idea where they want to go, and then we can look at directions, to people that have very specific places they want to move to. So I would say there was one young woman that used to ask me about different areas in LA, and I would compare them all. And you could see sometimes some were better than others and some were very close. And if they're very close, you kind of look at the details then. So that's very popular. I also find people with projects. So since I work in LA, there's a lot of people that have a multitude of projects, and they want to either look at sort of what's the best one to focus on, what's the one that's going to take them wherever they want to go. And we look at sort of why and sort of the, again, looking at the 333, how many projects they have. I also sometimes get people into health that will look at supplements and vitamins, particularly brands, which saves them money. And there's one client I've been doing for, I don't know, several years. It seems to be accurate. So because she's told me. So we've tested this out and done it so often that, of course, nothing is 100% accurate, but it's pretty useful and pretty accurate overall in terms of being able to help people. Another thing is some people spend a lot of time, you know, and money when they want to hire someone, say, for a website, or they want to travel somewhere for a workshop. And this can kind of save them some time if they have like three different people they're looking at. And again, once they maybe find the person that looks the strongest, then you can go into something more in depth. A lot of times, you know, you don't have to only use the three card, though a lot of times we do. It's just a very, very effective reading. I never really realized how much I use it until I, you know, decided to do this for the show today. And in fact, you don't really need a lot of different layouts. I think it can be very confusing. And when you do any layout at all, just try to do it consistently the way you don't have to think about what you're doing. So if you want to do a left to right instead of like up and down, then do that all the time so it becomes second nature and you don't have to think every time you put the cards down. But, you know, maybe a half a dozen layouts at the most is all you really need. So even though the three card is a little bit more than three cards because you're doing 3, 6, 9 and more, it's still the same concept that you're working with this layout. And the other thing I wanted to mention about it was that, oh, I think I mentioned earlier how it's just quick to use. So I did mention that earlier. So I think that the other thing I wanted to emphasize when you're doing choices is that it's very important that someone notes the question. And I don't have to note what the choices are, but remind your client to write them down in whatever order they want. And to save time, I don't have to have the exact option. So sometimes a person will tell me the topic and they'll say, I have four options. They don't always. And I say, great, just we're going to do it in the order that you have it written down. That's very, very important. I know it sounds like a no-brainer, but sometimes we have forgotten even three choices. You can get confused about which one was which. So make sure that the question is written down and don't let them read things into the question or make more of the question. That happens to me sometimes where they have given me a specific question and then they want to sort of a little more from it. I have to do a separate card reading with that and I'll tell them, you know, so you certainly have to pay attention. And in fact, the concept of questions in the tarot, it is worth its own show. It's something I learned early on when I was doing readings is that having a really clear question before you come for a reading can be quite interesting in terms of the response you get. So I think I'd been only working a year and this young man came in and he told me he'd been focusing on this one question about, I think it was about work, all day long. He had a very clear question. And he came in and the cards were super clear. They were crystal clear. It was like they were lit up like Christmas tree. And I thought, wow. But the other time I sort of thought that's kind of cool. And then the other time I noticed that a question made a difference to how the tarot responded was I was doing a reading for an older woman and she had done sort of a general reading and then she said she did have a question, and in this case, it was about her health. Now, oftentimes when you do a general reading and a specific reading, there can be correlations with the cards. Makes sense, right? But in this case, when she asked the question about her health, it was as if the cards had been waiting for her to ask that question. I don't know how to explain it. It was so different, and so the answer was, again, so clear. And that's when I thought, oh, sometimes if we can find sort of the right question at the right time, we'll get some real profound insight through the tarot. And I don't want you all to then go off and think you have to have a question all the time, but just the idea of the question and following our questions in life, which, by the way, is connected to the threes in the Kabbalah and the tarot, which we're back to the three card layout, is really, really profound. And it's definitely part of the metaphysical quest in a sense. And I think it gets underutilized in terms of teaching people to feel free to ask questions and then how to ask a question and noticing when certain questions are getting really strong responses from whatever oracle you're looking at. But certainly, it's one of those areas that I feel really strongly about. So I did want to mention that Michael is doing another tarot class. It's his 7-week Kabbalistic tarot card class, and it's going to be starting, I had it written down, I believe it's February 28th. And yes, it's February 28th, which is a Wednesday at 7 p.m. Pacific time. It's going to be limited space, and you will see if you go to our website, mysticraven.net, there's an Eventbrite link that you click on. So there's a little bit of a fee over the $300 for the 7 classes. It's roughly around $20, but he's giving this class, and they range from 90 minutes to 2 hours, depending on which. I think the first class is the longest. He's doing it via Zoom, and again, it's going to be limited to only a certain amount of people, so make sure that you sign up and get going on it. It's one of those things that if you study this course, it's a basic course that allows you to read the cards together in a pattern in a way that nobody else really has presented and we know actually works. So he's going to be doing more of that. We're going to be hopefully joining forces with another bookstore and get that out more, because we really believe in it. And our book is coming along. I am hoping to get that out by the springtime. And also remember, you can book readings with us at mysticraven.net and also through Mystic Journey Bookstore, their website. So I hope you're finding this or have found this very useful. As I said before, you don't need a lot of spreads. In fact, you probably could just work with this 3-card spread to begin with. It's as Carolyn said to me, also, it fits on the table very well. So I like that. And I think that it's not intimidating. The Celtic Cross, which is an excellent spread, and you can do variations from 10 to 13 to we have a 20-card Celtic Cross, but it can be a little more intimidating to start with overall, but it's definitely a very excellent spread. And try to, you know, like I said, have just a few that you work with. And remember, there is no one way to approach a reading, even including the shuffling of the cards. Interesting enough, some readers do not allow anyone to ever touch their deck. I think I have a friend that does that. And then there are some people that insist that you actually touch the physical deck. Another sort of practical thing is if you're doing a lot of readings, your deck will wear out and it'll get sort of, you know, torn corners and you'll be able to have cards that are flawed. And some people, again, will not get a new deck. And the advantage of that is there's a lot of energy in the deck. I've seen decks that are very old and they are very cool. But the disadvantage is that they are not equal, all the cards. So someone might be drawn more to a torn card or not. So in a way, I like to replace my deck after, you know, it starts to look like it's getting too worn down. So I would say it's up to you what you want to do with that. Again, there's no really right or wrong with that overall. But I certainly think I would really sort of encourage you, if you're just wanting to learn to read, definitely try the 3-card spread. You can even take pictures of it and make notes of it. You don't have to even predict. You can sort of do the spread in the morning and then see what actually happened during the day, and you can see how the cards played out. And then if you do it over a period of time, let's say you do it for like a month, you'll also see a larger pattern developing from the 3 cards each day. So that's the other thing about the tarot, is it's a very rich system that you can start with something as simple as 3 cards. And you can layer them, you can look at them, they're going to take you deeper as you're ready to go deeper with even just the 3 cards. It's just so user-friendly. I cannot emphasize it enough in terms of using it in your repertoire, whether you're a reader professionally, whether you're learning, whether you're just doing it for yourself, whether you just want to use it for creative projects. I know someone that does that too. So I think that's really pretty awesome. That I think someone's done it for their characters and their books. You can use the tarot for pretty much everything you want. It's very good that way. So I think that's mostly what I wanted to share with you today. I hope it helps you, and I hope you continue your own journey with the tarot. Join us next time as we continue to explore the esoteric and the obscure together. Have a magical week.